Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you again. And what a great Father's Day. Fantastic. And I've entitled this morning's message, The Father's Love, Lost and Found. And just before I get into some stuff out of the Bible, we've got some great visual aids with us this morning. Let me just say this, that how many of you had a great dad bring you up? That's great, because not everyone does, do they? And I had the wonderful privilege of having a great dad who loved God and brought me up, loved me, and really served and really taught me a lot of things. A few years ago, when he passed away, he got promoted to heaven. I had the privilege, actually, of burying him. There's not many people would say that, but I had the privilege of burying my dad, and at the graveside, having great joy, knowing that my dad wasn't in that body going into that grave, but actually he was already in heaven because he knew Jesus. We want our dads, we want our sons and daughters, we want people to know Jesus, don't we? And that's why we're here today. And I want to tell you a funny story. Is that all right? I looked on the internet yesterday and Friday to try and find some funny Father's Day jokes. And they were so terrible. They were either really corny or they really undermined what a dad's supposed to be. So I'm not going to tell you any of them. But I'm going to tell you a funny story that happened to us as a family when I was in some younger years when I was at home. And my parents would always go on holiday, summer holiday. We'd go somewhere. It usually wasn't sort of one of those. But it was usually something like Costa Bognor or Costa Margate or something like that. But we always had a great time as a family when we went away. We usually would go for 2 weeks, so a good stretch of a holiday. My dad had saved up everything he could to get us there, and we'd have a great holiday. And I remember we went down to, I think it was on the south coast somewhere, and we went out for a swim. And this particular day, the waves were quite rough, and just say rough. Yeah, they were like that, but rougher. And this wave came in. I remember my dad, I don't know quite what happened. He was a little bit further ahead, so I didn't see actually what happened, but we were up to our necks, really. And this great big wave rolled in, and I think he had his mouth open at the time. And this wave rolled into his mouth and took out his two sets of false teeth. Now, this is a true story. I'm not making this up. This is a true story. Took out his two sets of false teeth. So he came, I was a little bit further back. I remember, I was only a young boy at the time. I remember seeing him come back, and he went, I lost my teeth. And he was a right old state, because so you imagine you're going on holiday, you've got two sets of dentures, top and bottom, and the wave didn't just take out his top ones, it took out the top and the bottom set of dentures into the sea. So he's thinking on his feet now, he's thinking, I'm on holiday, I've got no teeth, what am I going to do? What a way to ruin your holiday. And I remember we went back to where we were planted on the sandy beach further up. And my mum consoled him, and we didn't know what to make of it. But I remember God spoke to me just as a young boy, and he said, I'll find it for you. I'll find these teeth. I remember saying to my mum, it's okay, mum, don't have to worry about this. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray, and Jesus will help us to find these teeth. Isn't it great to have childlike faith? And the tide went out, as it does. And when it went out, this beach was covered with seaweed. It was thick seaweed. You can guess around about where I was on the south coast, where the seaweed comes in and stays in. There was lots and lots of seaweed, very thick seaweed. And I remember taking a walk along this beach, and it wasn't just a little beach, it was a big beach. And these teeth could have gone anywhere. I remember just saying, thank you, Jesus, you're going to help me find these teeth. Just walk along the beach like this. And to be honest, my parents, I don't know, they definitely didn't have the kind of faith I had, because God had given me some faith that day that we were going to find my dad's teeth, because it would ruin his holiday otherwise. I remember I literally stumbled across some seaweed, and they weren't planted on the top like that, where you could see them. The top set of dentures was actually just underneath the seaweed. I literally stumbled over the seaweed and saw a pair of teeth smiling at me. I picked the teeth up and ran back to my dad, saying, Dad, I found the teeth. I found your top dentures. And I went back thus encouraged that God were there for, if he found the first set, by using me, he'd find the second set. And about half an hour later, I was walking along this beach, still looking, and there, not on the top, but buried half under some seaweed and into some sand, was the bottom set of dentures. How about that? That would have been a great Father's Day present if it happened on Father's Day. It happened right in the middle of summer. But I want to tell you that God loves fathers. And I experienced tremendous love from my earthly dad during the course of my childhood, which helped me make a decision to give my life to Jesus at a very young, early age. And then I discovered a far greater love, the love of God the Father. Amazing. Are you ready for another story? And then we're going to look at a couple of Bible verses. Some years ago, how many of you know West Wittering? Down near Chichester. We took a family holiday there a few years ago, and my son Tim was about eight, maybe eight or nine, something like that. And when the tide goes out West Wittering, it goes out. You can hardly see it, you know, when it goes right out, one of those really low tides, and it looks like you could just walk across the Isle of Wight. Well, it's one of those tides. And I remember Tim and I, we were having some fun around the waters, and we ran out over that bumpy sand that goes out there. And we were well out. I don't know how far, but we were way out. And what I hadn't realized was that the tide had begun to turn. And we were having such fun chasing each other, splashing each other, throwing sand at each other, that time was rushing by and the tide was actually turning. And you know that if you know West Wittering, you know that there's an estuary that comes down there and the water goes out into the sea. And at this time, the estuary was quite low. The bit that we'd crossed was quite low. And when we went to turn back, I remember looking at it, and it was something like probably as wide from over there in the near the stage here, right over to about the other side over there. And it was, and I went up to about knee height, and I thought, easy peasy, lemon squeezy, we can get across there, all right. So we started walking, and I tell you, the tide was moving so fast that by the time we got a third of the way across, the water was up to here. And I noticed that actually it seemed to be going further away. You know, the width of it was going further and it was going at rapid speed. And I made a decision. Remember, I'm a grown man. I'm an adult. And I'm taking my son across into waters, and he's not a good swimmer. He can swim a little bit, but not much. And I'm not much better. I can swim, but not carrying someone on my back. And the water came up to about here. And I'm beginning, if I'm honest, to panic, because I can see to go that way, it's getting wider, and to go that way, it's getting wider, and the water's now up under my chin. It happened really, really fast. And I didn't panic outwardly, but inside I was really panicking. And I remember my son was now on my shoulders, and the water was lapping up like this. And I tried to find a way in which to sort of find a way out. Have you ever been in those situations, trying to find a way out? I was completely lost. I didn't know what to do. The people on the beach were like little dots. So the idea of shouting for help wouldn't have done anything. Perhaps waving, maybe someone would have waved back. I think they're having a great time. So I was stuck, and the water was now up like this. And I tell you what happened. I said to Tim, I'm going to have to throw you off because I just hold on to my arm while I get some breath. And so I threw him off. He held on to my arm, and now the water's like this. And everywhere I tried, I knew I'd have to swim for it, but I knew I couldn't naturally get right across to the other side. And do you know what I did? What would you have done? Prayed. I had a prayer meeting. Took about half an hour. No, I prayed. I said, Jesus, help! Really loud. And I'll tell you what happened in an instant. I took a step forward, probably in the wrong direction, and it felt like there were steps in the sand. I took another step, and I came up. I took another step, and I came up. All totally contradictory to where we were in the middle of these waters that would now have been well over my head. And we walked out, probably in the wrong way, but we walked out to shore, got to the other side. And Jesus answered the prayer, answered a father's prayer, for not just for me, but for my son. And he remembers it. He was only eight or nine, but he remembers. And I remember it. God answers prayer. He loves fathers, and he is the greatest father. And he wants you. If you don't know God as your father, he wants you to know him this morning. Do you agree? I thought I'd bring along a couple of props just to support what I want to say to you today. So I bought, what have I got? Loaf of bread. If you've got your Bible, just turn there to John chapter 6. Are you with me? Let's go to John chapter 6. You imagine this loaf of bread represents God this morning, okay? And I'm going to take one slice of this bread. Now, God is in heaven, okay? And he gave a slice of himself, shrunk himself, actually, broke a part of himself off, and he was born into the Virgin Mary, literally by the Spirit of God. God's seed was put into Mary. We know the Christmas story, don't we? It's an absolute miracle. And God became a human being. And Jesus is called the bread of life. That's what God the Father did. God actually broke himself off. And that's when we read about Jesus being called the Son of God. Are you with me? And it says here in John 6, I'm just going to read you this from verse 26. Jesus told them, "I tell you the truth, you're looking for me, not because you saw a miracle, but because you have plenty of bread to eat." Jesus had just done a miracle. "Don't work for food that rots, but for the kind of food that lasts for eternity, which I, the Son of Man, will give you. For on me, God the Father has set his seal of approval." So they asked him, "If we are to do the works that God wants of us, tell us what to do." "This is God's work," Jesus replied, "to believe in me, the one he has sent." Now, I don't know if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus in your life, or you don't know God the Father in your life, but God sure wants you to know him. And it's a very, very simple step to actually to know him. And this is the work that God will do. He will enable you to believe. He will give you the spirit of faith, that you will believe in him. This is God's work. This is God's work, that you believe in Jesus Christ, the one who came down to this earth to die on a cross, to carry our sin and our need and our sickness, and break the power of those things over our lives, so that if we believe in him and then receive him into our lives, we become a new person. We receive a new life. And God has new life for people here today. The Father's love, lost or found? Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you lost or found? Many of you are saying found, but some of you here today are lost, and that's because you haven't yet met the one who's actually seeking you out, looking for you. Do you ever play hide and seek with your children or your grandchildren? Any of you ever do that? Or is it just me? The other week I was playing hide and seek with my grandson, Charlie, and you know, something about children, if you play hide and seek with them, I discovered that they like you to know where they are. You found that one? You think, well, surely they'd hide and be still and quiet and really hide away somewhere. No, they hide in the most obvious place, and it's partly so that you know exactly where they are. So we play this silly game, you know. Charlie, where are you? Are you under the trampoline? Perhaps you're under the swing. Maybe you're under that bush. And all the time, Charlie's going, I'm over here, Granddad, I'm over here. He calls me Pop Socks. He says, I'm over here, Pops. I'm over here, Pop Socks. I'm over here. Isn't it strange? And, you know, inside of us, we actually want to be found. There's something inside of us that actually wants God to find us. Even those of you that perhaps say, well, I'm not really even sure about God. Well, he's sure about you. And he knows that you're there, and there's something on the inside of us that wants to be found. I'm over here. And God is asking the question, where are you this morning in your relationship to God? Where are you? And God wants you to find him. And if we go on, we'll read a little bit more here in John 6. It says here at verse 33, I am this bread of God. Jesus said, I am the bread of God, for I have come from heaven. Lord, they said, give us this bread from now on. And Jesus says these amazing words. He says, I am the bread of life, proclaimed Jesus. The one who comes to me will never be hungry. He who continues to believe in me will never be left thirsty. What an amazing statement. You know, Jesus was actually saying in those words, he was saying, I'm God. He was literally saying, he used the name of Jehovah or Yahweh. That's the name of God. And the name of God means the eternal self-existing one. So here's Jesus. He's actually saying in this statement, he's saying to the people there, he says, I am the bread of God. I've come down from heaven to feed you. And if you feed on me, you'll live. And he says, I am the bread of life. He was literally saying, I am the self-existing, the eternal one. I am God. I'm one and the same as God. And I've come into a human body to show you the love of the Father. Isn't that amazing? Jesus came to reveal the Father to you and to me. He came to reveal who God the Father is so that we could be fathered. I have the great privilege of telling people about Jesus many times every week. And it's often a great privilege to tell Muslims who don't know God as their Father that God, their Father, wants to meet with them. And he does through Jesus, that Jesus actually is God and was God and is God, and he is the bread of life. And verse 40, just read verse 40. It says, yes, this is my Father's will, that all who turn to the Son and continue to believe in him shall receive the gift. There it is. It's a gift God wants to give some of you here today. The gift is himself, and he will give you eternal life. And Jesus said, I will surely raise you up on the last day. This is my Father's will, Jesus says, that all who turn to the Son and continue to believe in him will receive the gift of eternal life. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds good. And many in this building today have received Jesus Christ. And when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive his eternal life. But if you haven't received him, then you don't have eternal life. And that means that your destiny is very uncertain. Let me show you another illustration. Could I have a couple of glasses, please? What's this? That's very clever. A jug of water. Now, you imagine this represents God in heaven. And that the glass on the left, that Gary's holding in his left hand, is, yes, empty. You're quite right. And the one on the right-hand side also is empty. But this is what God does. This is what God wants to do. When we believe in Jesus and we receive him, he pours out what he has, which is his life, his love, his power, his grace. Everything that he has, he pours out because of what Jesus has done for us, and he fills us up with his life. You compare that with that. That's our life without Jesus, right? This is our life with him. There's a big, big difference. God wants us to fill people up today with his life. Thanks, Gary. Give him a round of applause. That was amazing. Just let's look at John's Gospel, shall we, chapter 7. Let me just show you this. Just going to... Incredible. John 7 and verse 37. And it says this. The last day of the feast, they were celebrating a feast, the Jews, was the greatest. It was then that Jesus stood and shouted aloud, anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. For from deep within, anyone who believes in me will flow out rivers of living water. As the scripture said, Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit. Later, those who believed in him would be filled with God's Spirit. Until then, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, hadn't been given to live within anyone because at that time, Jesus had not returned to heaven in his glory. I'm asking you a question today. Are you hungry? Excellent. But I'm asking you this question, that the question that Jesus was actually talking to people about in his day was, he recognized that if people didn't believe in him, they were hungry people. Some people don't recognize their hunger and they die because basically they starve to death because they haven't received the bread of life. Are you thirsty today? Are you thirsty? Because God has put in every one of us, it's like a God-shaped hole. It's like a vacuum that no one can fill except Jesus. And when we turn to him and believe in him, he actually comes and fills that vacuum with himself. We were designed that way. It's called a spirit. And we've all got a spirit, but our spirit is disconnected from God. And the only way that we can be born again, born of the Spirit, is by believing upon Jesus, confessing our need of him, confessing our sin. Lord, I've done stuff wrong. Please forgive me, and turning away from living my life my way and turning to live his way. That's the secret of living in his life. And Jesus, God, wants to fill us with that life. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Because Jesus will satisfy your hunger by coming to know him, and he'll satisfy your thirst so that you can drink of his Spirit and of his life. Can I just have bring the cross? We're going to use the cross as a visual now. Let's look at John's Gospel chapter 3. And in John's Gospel, chapter 3, remember we're talking about the Father's love. Lost and Found. Nearly lost the screen there. That's great. Thank you, mate. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and it says these words. Nicodemus, heard of him? We're going to call him Nick, okay? Nick was one of the Pharisees, and a member of the Jewish ruling council came to Jesus secretly during the night and said to him, "Master, we know you're a teacher sent by God. You couldn't perform all these miraculous signs if God were not with you." Jesus responded, "I tell you the truth, it is impossible for anyone to see God's kingdom unless he is born again." Just say born again. "How can it be possible for an old man to be born again?" asked Nicodemus. "Can he really enter his mother's womb for a second time and be born all over again? I tell you the truth, nobody can enter God's kingdom unless he is first born, not only of water, natural birth, but of the spirit, spiritual birth as well." Jesus explained, "The natural flesh can only give birth to natural flesh. God's spirit alone can give birth to the human spirit. So you do not need to be surprised when I say you must be born again." I want you to turn to somebody, whether they are or not, and just say, "You must be born again." Just say that to somebody near you, will you? If you are born again, you can turn back and say, "Well, I am. Thank you very much." Huh. Listen to these words, and we're talking about the cross this morning. Jesus, this is what happened from heaven. So in the same way, God so loved the people of the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever, just say whoever, who does that mean? Everybody, anybody, whoever it means anybody, believes in him will not die eternally, listen to this, will not die eternally, but have received God's gift of eternal life instead. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn everyone, but came into this world to save people. Remember the story of saving my son and me, how God did it. Remember that story, because God literally sent his son to save us from drowning in death. Not just death that's cutting off, but a death that goes on forever, an eternal death. Jesus came to save us from that. So whoever believes in him is not condemned, but the one who refuses to believe that Jesus is God's son is already condemned by his own unbelief. God wants to help us to believe. That's his work, right? And I want to show you something this morning. You see, if you're living your life in your own strength, in your own ability, you're over here somewhere, and you do the normal things that people who don't know Jesus do. You sin a lot, because that's your nature. You sin. You do things that are wrong. You live for yourself. You live you live by your ambitions, by pride. And you're dependent on other people around you. There's no relationship with God. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross to carry all of our sin and all of our need. If you've got sin, you know there's stuff that's wrong in you, but you can't do anything about it. Well, Jesus has already done everything about it on here. He nailed it to the cross. The good news for everyone here this morning is, whether you know him or not, is that when Jesus died on that cross, that he took you there. Not just your sin, not just your need or your sickness, but he took you, your old life, and crucified it on the cross. He said, that's the best I can do with it. I'm going to kill it off. And we know that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't do it for himself. He was perfect in every way. He came from heaven. Remember, he's the bread of life. Remember, he's carrying the waters of life. And he said, "Whoever believes in me will receive rivers of living waters." God's in the place. God's in this place here today. Amen. He's here today. He wants you to know him. And when Jesus was taken off of the cross, the soldiers put a sword into his side, and it says blood and water poured out. He was dead. And they buried him, and they put him in a tomb. And he was in that tomb for how long? 3 days. On the third day, he rose again. The other side of the cross. And Jesus said, "I've come to give you life, that you might have it to the full." You see, over here, we're lost. I'm asking you a question. Where are you this morning? Are you over this side of the cross? That's in your own sin, living life your way. I did it my way. I'm doing it my way and only my way. Or are you going to say, "Jesus, you've done something for me which I need to respond to"?
See, I got saved as a young boy because basically I understood something of the Father's love for me, God the Father. I understood about Jesus, but I knew he wasn't living in me. And I knew that my life would be wasted, a complete waste of time, and who knows what would happen after the life, because the Bible says that we will be forever separated from God if we don't actually believe and receive him into our lives here and now. It's called a place of judgment, which Jesus literally came to save us from. Are you with me? And when he rose again from the dead, he said, if you believe in me, you can come into life in all its fullness. I tell you, I'm living in that life today. I came into it about 10 and a half years of age. I've never looked back, really. I've never, ever looked back from that day. I know Jesus living in my life. I know his spirit, his power, his love pouring in me every day. And I'm able to give that love away to others. This is life. And God wants every person in this building, however old or young you might be, he's included you on that cross. He took you there and said, your old life's no good. It won't get you to heaven. In fact, you'll never get there. But the way you will get there is by believing upon me and receiving me into your life, because I've got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for your life, and I want you to follow me. You know, it says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. There were all kinds of needs. You may have some needs this morning, and God spoke to me this morning. He said that there'll be people here in this meeting that will get healed just right where they are. I said, Lord, do we need to pray for them and bring them forward? He said, no, they'll just get healed right where you are on your seat this morning. If you've got some physical sickness in your body, just believe. I don't know what you've got, but God will heal you right now. Can we just pray and just thank God? Just stay right where you are. If you've got problems in your back this morning, I tell you, God wants to heal your back. And there's some people here, God's going to touch your back right now by the Spirit's power in the name of Jesus. I command backs in this place to be healed, to be straightened up. I saw someone who'd got a condition down their back. It was to do with the nerve down one side that was affecting how you walk. You feel it in your leg. And I command that nerve problem to be healed right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone's got problems with their eyes this morning. I don't know what it is, but God wants to heal you of that irritation, that problem with sight today. Just lay your hands on your eyelids and just, Jesus' name, be healed. Command eyes to be healed right now. Some of you are having oppressive migraines. You know what those are. I used to have those until God healed me of them. I command every migraine headache, you have them regularly, command them to leave you now in Jesus' name. Break the power of those oppressive migraines in Jesus' name. And if that's you, just say, thank you, Jesus, you're here. I'm going to receive that as my healing. Some of you have a problem walking. This is in your feet. You have problems with your feet this morning. And God wants to heal your feet right where you are. Let's just stand to your feet just for a couple of minutes. Just stand to your feet. God wants to heal you in your feet right now. Some of you might be feeling pins and needles in your feet. God wants to heal you. Just start doing something that you haven't done before with your body, I'm talking about, because Jesus is here. He wants to heal you. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he took our sins and our sickness and nailed it there. And when he rose again, he didn't rise with your sickness. He buried it 2,000 years ago. He said, how can that be? God is eternal. It's nothing for God to come down 2,000 years ago and finish the whole lot in one go, which is what he did, so that those that believe on him right the way down through the ages can receive the benefits of what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. God wants you to be living in the fullness of life this morning by knowing Jesus and by receiving him. And his healing power is here. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. You're here today, Lord. I thank you that you're here, Lord. Jesus, come to give you life. And if you know that you've been healed this morning, it'd be great to hear about that. It'd be good to tell some people about it, perhaps tell the person next to you, and we can have some faith reports about that. But you know, the most important reason we're here today is because of the Father's love. And I when I prayed earlier today, I know there's people here today, you need to give your life to Jesus 100%. Not to say what I believe about him. Some of you might even believe in him, but you've never prayed the prayer and said, Jesus, I'm going to hand my life over to you. I'm going to turn away from living my life in my power, under my control. I'm going to hand the control over to you. That's what repentance means. Turning around, turning away from living life your way. And it's actually saying, Jesus, I want you to come and take control of my life today. And I'm going to follow you. And some of you need to pray that prayer this morning. Some of you need to turn your life over to him. It's not just being forgiven. We certainly need that. And Jesus' blood was poured out so you could be cleansed, and those sins and things could be completely removed, eradicated, erased from your life. And that's when the sin burden leaves you. That's when you know you're free. Is Jesus the only one that can forgive you and cleanse you by the power of his blood? And he's here today to do it. There's some people here today. God wants you to really meet with him by responding, by saying yes to him today. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Some of you this morning that you've wandered away from God. You've wandered away. Some years ago you were really walking with God, but you went off and did your own thing. And God's calling you back today. God wants you to respond to him. See, over here, you're lost. Over here, when you believe upon Jesus and turn to him and ask him for that cleansing power of his blood to work, and you say, today, my old life is finished. Today, I'm going to start a brand new life. I want to follow Jesus Christ and make him my Lord. You enter into a new life. It's called the kingdom of God. God gives you a gift. God wants to give you a gift this morning of his life, of his love, of his power. It's the Father's love. And this is where you get found over here. Amen. Can we have the band up? I'm going to ask you just in these next couple of minutes, I'm going to ask you to respond. You're not responding to me, but you're responding to the Lord who made heaven and earth on Father's Day. This will be a great Father's Day. This will be a great day for one reason, that people give their lives to Jesus, that you actually commit your life to God, you give your life to God today. And I'm just going to invite you, if you want to know Jesus, you want to give your life to him this morning, I want you to come down and stand just over this side here this morning. Just stand, just come forward while we sing and thank God this morning. Just come forward and say, you see, Jesus, when he died on the cross, it wasn't done in a corner. It wasn't done quietly where no one would know what was happening. It was done in the public view of everybody. He was crucified in the most public place. I've been there. Everyone was passing by. Everybody was passing. Everyone saw what Jesus did. He was nailed to the cross publicly for our sins and for our old life to be taken away so that we could receive a new life. The Father's love. God so loves you this morning. He knows everything about you. Don't resist God. Some of you have resisted God. Don't resist and come forward and dedicate your life to Jesus here this morning. We've got some people who will help you as you respond to him this morning. Just come forward. And over on this side here is for people, you're here this morning and you want to know more about Jesus. You're not ready quite to give your life to him. You want to understand, and that's a good reason you need to come this side, to understand about who he is and what he's done for you. I want you to come over this side here. And as you respond to God, there'll be some people who talk to you afterwards over here. But this group over here, for people who you're giving your life to Jesus today, you're about to enter into a brand new life. I tell you, Jesus, God the Father's love for you is very, very strong. He's got a plan for you. And there's others here in this room here today. I know there's some other people here that you need to respond this morning. So let's just worship, Lord. Give you a few minutes just to respond to God. And the rest of us, let's just pray. Let's just pray. Give our hearts to him. And if there's anyone here today, you know you've wandered away from Jesus. You're not following him in that passionate way that you should be as a disciple. Then you need to come out here this morning, this side, and rededicate your life to him this morning. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Let's worship the Lord, shall we? Let's worship him. Give him praise. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.